Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Oh, that's right. Welcome back to the mailbag.
Holy
boom,
shit.
Boom, 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 boom.
Man, I'm excited for this one. I was running late this morning. I was messaging Lewis and Flax, and Flax was like, oh my God, I've got a big heaving bag this morning. So,
got a big bag. My bag is
Well, Pyrian
is
even
bloated.
Like emailed me, forwarded me one of them as well, which I read. Shall I read it?
Yeah, read that one
is
out.
Is it a 100% certified cracker?
This one is from Harrison.
Right.
He says, hearing Lewis go on about Alan Sugar taking people for mugs, pretty rich, coming from the Yog Ventures guy. Where's the money, Lewis? You're just as bad. You may be vegan and meditate, but you were responsible for the biggest Kickstarter scandal ever, twat.
I mean, fair play, I guess.
As you can see, this is a hell of a mailbag. Yeah, twat is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Succinct.
I mean, I get it, dude. I don't quite agree with your take on it, but it's fine. That was 11 years ago now, guys. Wow. But you know, fair enough. You got me. I can't be critical of other people.
Oh, no, you still can be. That's the thing, though.
I can. Okay, yeah. Good. Well, we'll sort that out then.
Yeah.
All right, Harrison.
Well done.
It's amazing that people still like even still listen to the Triforce podcast and are willing to send stuff in like that.
We must have just a legion of hate listeners at this point.
Well,
right? It's been going for so long.
Or we're just so likable, they just forgive us for all of our mistakes, you know? Oh God. It's just good memories. All right, P-Flex, bring us some good ones.
You want some hotties? Okay.
Yeah, start with that and move upwards.
Now, do you want to go to the most recent ones first or the furthest ones back that I've gone first? Should we go in reverse order of arrival?
I'm easy. I'll just go with this one then. Yeah.
This is from Faye. Saw this car that clearly belonged to a mega virgin and thought it would give you guys a good laugh. Not only does it have those very classy stickers on the back, the stickers on the back, the entire rear windshield says #sendnudes.
Nice.
And then it also has kill all wipers, and they've removed their rear windshield wiper for some reason, which I don't think is a good idea. I think that's actually technically illegal. I think you need a rear windscreen wiper. And then they apparently also had a sticker that said 4 doors for more whores.
Nice.
That's from Faye. Just why would you drive around in such a vehicle? And it's got a spoiler, of course. It's got a fucking spoiler because your Ford fucking Focus here, whatever the fuck, looks like a Ford Focus, is definitely going to benefit from a spoiler. Congratulations, idiot. So thank you, Faye, for sending that in.
There is a place called Killer Wipers, which I just Googled it, which is like a fitting out shop or whatever it's called, where they... fancy up your car, you know, like the Pimp My Ride type place.
There it is. Apparently windscreen wipers, you know, you got to kill all those windscreen wipers.
I mean, is that the main focus on making the cars look better? That's like their main thing is getting rid of rear windscreen wipers.
How do you wipe? Like if you're driving and it's really raining, what do you do? Like,
I have no idea.
Drive faster and let the wind take all the water off the windshield?
I don't know if it is even illegal to not have them. I think it's maybe it's like
I'm almost certain it is.
A lot of people can't see out their back window anyway when they've got like
right, but that is against the law as well. If you have a vehicle that has a back window, I think you need to be able to see out of it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Email us.
Yeah, that's a mailbag addendum. So,
what do you think the psychology is behind some of the bumper stickers, like the 4 doors? More room for whores and stuff like that.
I think there's a big especially in America, there's a big culture for bumper stickers. We don't have them as much over here. You tend to see people with the bumper stickers you have over here is You see that little fish symbol that Christians have to put on their car, otherwise they get rounded up. That's the law these days. Then you also have their football team. There'll be a sticker like Wolves or Man City or whatever. There'll be a sticker in the back of a car. There used to be a Bournemouth sticker in a car around here. It always gave me cheer when I saw it.
Yeah.
But that's about it. You know, you might see a sticker, whoever they bought the car from puts a sticker in the back of the car and they never remove it.
That's that's a typical one.
That one with the family, it's like the mum and the dad and the number of kids and also baby on board. Those are the stickers you see.
Yeah, we didn't have a sticker for ours, but we had a like where we bought our car from. There's no sticker, but this is really interesting. There was a customized license plate covering,
common.
like a surrounding of the license plate
That's very common.
Also, there was a personalized insurance disc holder. You know, like you stick it to the inside of your windscreen, and it had the logo and stuff on it as well.
But I think that's your road tax, isn't it? Not insurance. I don't know. Maybe it's different in Jersey.
We have an insurance disc. It's like a paper, but it is it's your actual insurance. It's displayed like right on your so windscreen.
Do you have to have a UK tax, sticker as well when you go to France?
I think it says GB, doesn't it?
Yeah. It used to be the case. I think it
says UK now.
You don't see them much anymore.
I thought it said GB, but maybe it does say
UK. Used to see them all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's blue with stars, isn't it? You'll see them from all over the place.
I guess it's like wearing a t-shirt, right? Except it's on your car. You know, these people wear these stupid t-shirts and to sometimes like I'm with stupid or dumb stuff, right? That's like a funny meme that boomers think is funny. Yeah. I think bumper stickers are just like that, you know? They're such
a
meme
sticker. What about the bumper
sharer sticker
honk if you're horny? That's a good one, too.
That's what I'm talking about.
A classic.
Yeah.
I think the people who like them and the people who put them out there, especially people putting their political views on their car, first of all, you're just inviting road rage, I think, a lot of the time. But also, they're the sort of people who are like, I'll just say it like it is, and if you don't like it, you know, that's just me. That's the kind of person. Someone who would say that is the kind of person who would have, you know, death to hippies as a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about the bumper sticker where it's all in small writing and the small writing says, if you can read this, you're way too close to my car. Right. But usually it has some swear words. And then the other one is, how's my driving? Dial 1-800 eat shit or something like that. That's a good one. 1-800 fuck off or something like
that. But these are all such boomer fucking
jokes. They are
jokes,
big time. My dad and mom would be in hysterics if they saw that. Yeah,
I don't think any self-respecting millennial would be caught with a bumper sticker. You know, they'd be removing that.
Not funny.
Sure.
It's a low hanging fruit.
What about those? It's not like a sticker on the outside of your car, but usually stick it to like the inside of your windscreen or whatever. But you can get it from like your local co-op store or something, and it says like shop at the co-op or I proudly shop at the co-op. Yeah, we have those.
Oh my God. Well, that's the thing. I think if the shops give them away,
they give them away.
I think that's actually where this is coming from. It's not from people, it's from the companies giving them away. It must be like certain boomerish things like NASCAR or do you know what I mean? Things like this that would appeal to boomers. Like, or football teams, I reckon, would give away like bumper stickers for their football club.
They probably sell them, honestly, because they love money.
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing is like you see those stupid in the front window where they have like their names above the passenger seat of the driver's
Darren
seat.
Darren and Sharon. Yeah, they have that green strip above the
Those eyelashes that they put on to like headlights and stuff as well?
My kids love those, dude. They fucking love them so much.
Man. I'm not actually against that sort of stuff. Like also the red nose. They used to have red noses for cars very commonly around Comic Relief. Do you remember that?
Of course.
Actively gave away.
What about the fucking, the big piece of cardboard with tin foil on it that you put in your windshield.
You know what? If you don't have those, I discovered you have to spend about 10 minutes in your car. This is mainly in the States or hot countries. You just have to turn on the AC and wait in the car until the steering wheel. Like I was pouring water when we went to Six Flags. The steering wheel was so hot, I was pouring water on it to cool it down. And the water was just like evaporating on the steering wheel. It was so fucking hot you couldn't touch it.
Holy
so
shit.
I completely understand those. Those actually have a practical use.
The sun
use.
Shields.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they make sense.
All right, absolutely. Let's move on to the next one. When you we'll
said
be here that, all day.
When you said carport and shiny, I thought you meant like a fake spoiler someone had added on the back of it.
No,
oh, yeah, no, that would be cool too, though. Imagine right, you're just driving along and it just flies off, just rips right
rips
off.
Off
fucking tinfoil everywhere.
This is from someone, I'm going to call them D.
All right.
And they say, Python, I hope your day is going well. I was wondering, what is your most drunk experience from each of you? I was trying to think, what is the most drunk I've ever been? And I've remembered it. I have remembered it. But it's nothing impressive happened, really. This was at TI, I think it was TI 6. And after TI 6, so this is 2016, one of the other guys that I know on the Dota scene was staying in this Airbnb that came with this rooftop garden. And big enough, like, it as large as a full-size bar, this rooftop area was huge. Had heaters, had seats, and all the rest of it. And one of the other guys that was into Dota at the time was very rich, and he bought all this booze, like thousands of dollars worth of booze. They put it on the table, and there was, like, a little kitchen room at the top of this rooftop area. And it was just, huge bottles of whatever spirit you wanted, loads of mixers, all the rest of it. So we finish at the after party. It wraps up at fucking midnight or something lame like that. The after parties always do. Boot us out. Normally, we just sort of go to the hotel lobby and drink there. But he was like, come to the party. So we went to the party. I'd already been drinking for a good few hours at this point. I go, there's just free booze. And you just, hey, you want a vodka? It's like, yeah, yeah, bam. So you sink in all these spirits. And I don't normally drink spirits. And I'd forgotten how they suddenly like kablamo. They catch up with you.
They certainly do, yeah.
So I got so drunk that one of the things I'd said, I think I said it on Twitter or maybe in one of my PFLAX in the morning vlogs, that one of my dreams was to become famous enough that a woman would ask me to sign her bazongas.
Right.
I always wanted to do that because I remember when I was a young lad, I was really hot for this girl that was at the other school over the. She was at Bournemouth School for Girls. We had drama class together. She had enormous boobs, and I really fancied her, not just because of the boobs, but she also had enormous boobs. And she told me that she met a comedian. And she was a big fan of the comedian and got him to sign her boobs, and he did it. And I thought, that is the most rock and roll thing ever. I really want to sign a girl's boobs. So I'm at the after party, and a girl comes up to me and says, Perian. Sorry, no, a guy comes up to me and says, Perian, I heard you wanted to sign some boobs. I was like, where'd you hear that? He goes, oh, I heard of your vlog. He goes, my girlfriend is right here. Sign her boobs. And I was like, do you have a pen? And he was like, yes. And the only pen he had was a biro. And his girlfriend was right there, and she like pulled her top down a bit for me to sign onto the top of her boob. And I was like, I can't do it, guys. I'm sorry, I can't do it. It's going to hurt. If I push hard enough with the biro, it's going to hurt. And he was like, no, do it.
No,
and he was so drunk, he was sweating. I was like, this is not, like, you're here. I'm worried this is going to become a thing. He's like, no, do it. I was like, I'm sorry, guys. Now that I'm confronted with the reality of it, I don't want to do it. Thank you. And they were really upset. But I
the
was
fucking
so drunk.
Man with the iron gaze. This is what it is, B-Flex.
Yeah.
This is why you have that reputation.
I'm too professional.
But even though you were nearly so drunk that you still were able to resist. That's so good.
But
well done,
the drunkest point was we got back to the hotel.
That would have never ended up with... I mean, you're basically tattooing her boob
at
this point.
And it's a biro. You know what I mean? That ain't coming off.
Yeah.
So we get back to the hotel. I'm riding up in the lift. And when the lift doors open, I get off with a couple of my buddies. And I just stood there for a second. I realized I had lost the ability to stand or walk. And I just very slowly crumpled to the ground and just lay there right outside the elevator doors. And there were a bunch of other people in the elevator that we did not know who had clearly just arrived on their flight and must have thought, what kind of hotel is this? That I just got out just very slowly, like those toys where you push the bottom of it up and they collapse. You know those ones where it's like, it was like it's all suspended. That was literally how it collapsed. And my two buddies had to carry me to my room. And then they just sort of left me in there. And as soon as they let go of me, I just collapsed to the floor. And they were like, are you going to be okay? I was like, yeah. And then I just woke up on the floor the next morning. It was pretty grim.
If you have a person who is that drunk, you really do need to stay with them a while in case they're sick.
Yes.
Well, I was sick. I was sick immediately.
Yeah, I mean, in case they're sick, but they're too drunk to...
Oh. Well, they didn't want to have any part in that, so they just left.
This can be quite dangerous.
Yeah,
so
it can.
Be careful. That's my little tip with that.
But, yeah. But I survived. I mean,
God, that's not as bad or embarrassing as the time I got absolutely destroyed when I was young. But I mean, obviously, I got very, very drunk. I think the most drunk was that night with the gin, the Christmas advent calendar. So we played a game of Civ on
Crabs at people, clams at people. You were, and that was the most fun I've ever seen you be. Like, no flame. That was so, you were just fun, Lewis. It was amazing.
I was, so basically I had to have I had a gin advent calendar. It had about, it was a double, sort of a double shot every day. That's the point. But I was like, if whoever's got the high score every 10 turns or however many turns we were doing, I would have this shot. And so, you know, of course, I was just ahead for the first hour. So I had like,
you had to maintain like, your lead.
So I had a huge amount of gin. And even though I was supposed to sort of slow you down. The whole point of the idea was that, like, you know, you'd be inept at the game because you were drinking. But the thing is with Civ, the score sort of takes time to catch up. So I just sort of stayed ahead, you know, because it's such a slow game.
Yeah.
I think it might have been a time-based thing. Anyway, I got absolutely
wankered.
Destroyed.
You were properly wankered.
And I had to stop halfway. We had a break.
Yeah,
we went to Five Guys. And I was sick in everywhere in the Five Guys toilet, which is one of the worst experiences of my life, let me tell you.
I think you called me, actually. I'm pretty sure you phoned me up. Not from the Five Guys toilet, but whilst the stream was going on. No, it was fucking hilarious. People loved God. It. Brewis Ginley, that's where that came from.
I remember.
But that,
that
was a terrible, terrible thing to do.
It was fucking hilarious.
Absolutely awful. But no, there were a couple of times when I was a kid when I drank far, far too much.
Yeah, when you're a kid, that's always the case, right? I mean, like the first time I ever drank, you know, like I don't know if you guys remember the first time you ever had beer in your life, but it's like, it's kind of gross, right? The first time. Like it's a taste that you get accustomed to, but when you're younger, I don't think your taste buds are ready for it, sort of thing. It's like too
there's definitely a macho element to it as well,
yeah.
Right? Like a kind of coming of age type thing, like a feeling that you have to prove something or drink more or eat the spiciest chili. Do you know what I mean? It's all the same when you're like 16, 17, 18. You're always trying to show off and, you know, be you know, to your peers, certainly.
Yeah.
And so that was a big part of it when you know, I mean, obviously, you can drink at 18 here, but I had been in the Scouts, which I think is called Explorer Scouts now, but it's called Venture Scouts.
What does that have to do with it?
Scouts.
I'm fascinated. I'd been in the Scouts, so I already knew that drinking was not a good thing. It was shameful behavior.
The Venture Scouts were all like 18, 19, and you could join at 16. And so they all went to the pub. And so I ended up, you know, at the pub drinking with them when I was 16 quite a lot. It was a small village. And so, you know, I'd had quite a lot of experience getting absolutely hammered on these trips away and stuff. It was kind of just a very poorly managed drinking, like a naughty, naughty club for, you know, when you're a kid. You know, you want to try and get away with these things, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we'd have house parties and drink far too much, far, far, far too much. And yeah, definitely destroyed a few brain cells on those. And I regret all of it.
I'll be honest with you, I loved it from the outset. There was no period where I was like, I don't really like this, but I'll plow through.
Yeah.
I think it was because I was poor. And anytime you get the chance to get fucked up and you're poor, you take it. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, you're like, man, I can't afford more than two cans. If someone's going to give me more cans, I am drinking this.
Yeah.
And it was great.
I don't think it is necessarily if you're poor either. I think like everyone goes crazy for free booze. Like,
yeah,
no,
like
but I'm saying even before you're saying you don't get a taste for it until you get older. I loved it from the outset.
No, beer for me was like that, and then like I mean liquor as well. But liquor is you can be a bit more subtle with it though, right? Like if you mix it with something nice or whatever. But I've definitely had instances where liquor has just caught up with me all of a sudden. You know, you're drinking and you're feeling fine, and then all of a sudden it just absolutely mows you down, like in an instant sort of thing.
You know what? I suppose actually we've been doing this podcast a lot, but I think I've only hung out with Sips maybe two or three times ever in real life.
At length, yeah. I mean, like if we both happen to be in Bristol at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not very often.
It's not
at all.
Super often, no. Even then, though, like I'll drink socially, but like I don't I don't really get drunk. I get sort of like sleepy before I get to the point where I'm drunk. Like, so like I'll get a bit tipsy or whatever. But I mean, the last time I was like anywhere near, I don't ever think I've been blackout drunk in my life. Like I've definitely been very drunk, but not so drunk that I've made any big mistakes or goofs or gaffes or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like a surprisingly responsible around drinking. But the older I get, the sleepier it makes me, I find. Like, if I have anything to drink now, I'm just like, I'm ready to go to bed. Like,
it is like a dad at a Sunday dinner or Christmas, yeah. You know, falling asleep
like
on the sofa.
If I had like a pint of cider or something with food, I'd be fucking dead. Like, I'm ready to go to sleep.
Well, you need to try a cocaine instead in that case.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe I should. Yeah, maybe that's
the
key.
Pick me up.
The middle-aged thing.
All right, here's another email. This is from Feline Finney. Hi, boys. The snapping at poetry readings. Do you remember I was talking about people going...
Yes.
Doing that weird thing.
Yeah, so it's used to signify appreciation for the poet. It allows for a quieter response to the readings, which were often held in apartment buildings. It wasn't specific for the performance you saw, which is why your search gave you no answers. So the snapping response thing is a way of applauding without making so much noise.
Yeah,
somebody calls the police,
I figured that was the case, because usually the places where you would see that happen, and I mean, I've only ever seen it happen in movies or on TV or whatever, but they seem to be a lot more low-key situations, right? It's kind of quiet. There's no PA. There's no loud music or anything, you know? It's like, so it would be kind of weird to have somebody just speaking in a normal speaking voice.
And then
of ovational applause sort of thing. So
it's just, to me, it's very hipstery, because it always used to be in old cartoons.
Yes.
When they were in a sort of beatnik place, it was always the snapping the fingers to show appreciation. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Sips, we got one that I think is pretty much right up your fucking butthole.
Nice.
Right? Are you ready?
Nice. There might not be room for it in there with all Hot Wheels.
Just you wait,
and,
baby.
Yeah.
This is from Adam. I won't give the usual trip preamble. Well, you just did, Adam. All right. It's numerous episodes of Triforce. Sips has mentioned about the London shitpipe underneath the River Thames.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm a civil engineer. And when I first joined the company I'm currently working for, I was working on the initial stages of this product back in 2015.
Yeah.
Undertaking parts of the drainage and utility design. I had the privilege to go on a site visit and actually go down into one of the shafts before it was operational. I've attached a couple of pictures. I'm going to drag them now. I'm going to drag these to Discord for you, Sip.
Fuck yeah.
I think you're going to want to see this. These are some pipes, baby. You've not seen pipes like these in your life.
I love me some big pipes. Oh, yeah, I see them. Oh, shit, yeah. Look at...
Oh,
man,
wow.
The engineering is so fucking impressive.
Like, look at the... I mean, that is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's so
good.
It looks like a tube tunnel, doesn't it?
It is.
It looks like one of those vertical shafts that they dig for the when they're building the new, like, underground HS2 route.
You got to feel so satisfied to be involved on a project like that and see that as like the end result. Like, it's
exactly
fucking awesome, man.
But listen to this, okay? Just in addition to what Lewis just said, it's perfectly accurate. I've attached a couple of pictures, blah, blah, blah. It's an awesome project to work on, and I like the fact that every now and then Sips talks about it, as it helps raise awareness of these projects and might encourage more people to take up a career in civil engineering.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Which we desperately need in this country. I leave you with the knowledge that in the engineering industry, the Thames Tideway Tunnel is commonly referred to as high-speed poo.
Yeah.
It's just because you called it high-speed too. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
that's hilarious.
Cracking email. Look at that second picture.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that second picture. Look at the beauty of that curved tunnel and how perfect it is. That is honestly ridiculous.
Yeah.
I couldn't even begin to imagine how
they do that. Do you reckon when it opens, they should have like a celebrity or like maybe the king come and like, poo in it?
No, you know what I think they should do? They should flush Boris down it, you know, like to test, like to do like a end-to-end
like
test. Yeah. Just put a life jacket on him and then just fucking down you go, Boris.
Just put a load of sewage
down
there.
We'll see you in fucking wherever, you know.
We got
like
a few lorry loads of sewage ready to go.
Where they have the big digesters there out in the fucking country where it ends. Like, you know, they just wait for him. Like, it's like a really long slide at Center Parks or something like that. You know, you just wait at the end. That's what I think they should do. That's how they should open every piece of civil engineering. They should just
flush Boris down.
Just drop some MP down.
He'd be down for that. Yeah, I think some MP would. They all forget about them being on Strictly or The Masked Singer or any of these fucking garbage shows. Yeah. We should flush them down a ship pipe.
Into
the Thames.
I watched the documentary recently about the Queen. Is it the Queen Elizabeth line? It's the best,
baby.
I feel like I want to call it the Jubilee line, but the Jubilee line exists
already.
That already exists.
Yeah. Yes, that was built.
So it's the newest line, the Queen Elizabeth line, which cost like $10 billion or something to make. It was a bit delayed. COVID delayed it as well, but it opened this year, right? Like earlier this year. And the engineering around it is insane. Like they used some old, but they had to sort of retrofit some old buildings and attach new stations onto them because a lot of the old stuff is listed, without damaging it.
Yep.
Some of the brand new stuff is just fucking insane.
How deep it is.
Putting the escalators in and everything.
I tell you what the stations look like on like the cross section. It looks like some Resident Evil umbrella underground lab.
It does. Yeah. They're amazing.
Because it's
like a winding staircase going down like a mile into the ground, and then like an elevator shaft, and then like these like weird little sort of rooms. Yeah.
They had to move these like high powered fans in like to form the ventilation system. Cause like if there's ever a fire or an accident or whatever, they got to basically extract smoke or everybody
dies
down.
Was it July or something when it opened? Well, either way, I went on it and I think I did a pub crawl where we went all over it and I told you guys about it. It really is a beautiful line. I know it seems silly to get excited
about
it.
Brand new trains. All the trains are brand new.
I think we're about the age where we're okay to get excited about trains, guys. I think we could admit that.
It's crazy, how much that we take for granted, right? Like any time you leave your house, there's a road, there's drainage, there's sewage, there's lights, everything, and we take it all for granted. Nobody ever thinks like how this stuff gets
there. I love trains. I've loved trains ever since
I
bought Transport Tycoon Deluxe back when I was like 16.
Yeah,
you know,
choo-choo.
In the big box, the big PC box. Remember those big boxes that were like massively oversized for the games, but all PC games were sold in them. And I bought it and I took it home and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. But fortunately, the AI knew even less.
No patches in those days either. Game just
wonderful time.
Busted, that's
trying
it. It's busted.
Yeah.
Trying to play.
Yeah, because if you needed to patch something, you need a disc for it, right?
Yeah.
And there was no place to download stuff.
Well, no, but sometimes you'd get patches on
magazines. In a magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. A PC Gamer or whatever. Yeah.
Anyway, here's another one. This is a good one. This is from Sam from Australia. This is an unexpected encounter with some gentlemen at the gym. This guy was working out, have his usual time listening to the latest Triforce at the gym. Screen was open and beside me, with the Triforce cover image visible on the screen. After I completed my set, two massive men, who seemed to be in their 50s, walked up to me and said something that seemed like an insult, but I wasn't too sure as I had my headphones in. I proceeded to remove them and heard one of them say, "You must have a tiny dick." At first I was offended, telling them to fuck off, until I realized that the other man was showing me his phone screen. When he was also listening to the latest Triforce episode, I then proceeded to laugh while apologizing, and he ended up helping spot me on my new personal shoulder press record.
This is the kind of fucking scenario that you guys envisaged.
This is exactly what I was hoping for.
I know.
It's all come together. Oh, man.
You want to cause these, like, almost you cause a fight.
I love that. But everybody has to feel so good after the fact
when
that there was no
that,
fight, right? Like, it's such like, a disarming thing.
Friendships are formed in such a bond.
Only because there was already arms raised.
You're the first step to making a new friendship immediately is humility, right? You're just like, I got a small one and I'm not scared to say it.
That's true.
It's
that
good.
True.
It's a good. That's really very good. Positive. Very, yeah. very
I mean, no
positive.
One's posting that on their Tinder profile, I hope.
Well, they'd only get notes from other Triforce listeners. I don't know. I mean, you know, if you're a Triforce fan, you want to hook up only with other Triforce fans, put it in there.
Yeah.
Just whack it in there. Give us a report on whether you get any...
I'm just wondering, like, if you're, for example, like, if you're heterosexual and you're posting on your Tinder profile, I have a tiny penis.
Yeah.
Do you think that... I think generally that's going to turn women off, right? If you're a woman and you post, I have a gaping vagina,
right.
I don't think that's going to turn men off, right?
So
I don't think men are going to be like...
I think they would. Certainly, certainly
okay.
Many of the internet men out there, you know, gaping vaginas is certainly a thing that they think is a real thing if a woman has been promiscuous.
Right.
That's it, right? So I think
see.
It, yeah.
Okay.
So how
so
about
it's
this?
Got its own
Instead
issues.
Of actually putting out in full letters... I have a tiny penis. Just put IHATPA, like just the acronym.
IHATPA. Yeah.
Or
that is so cryptic.
Or
yeah.
IHAGVA.
So cryptic.
Or IHAGVA or IHATPA. You put that out there, and other Triforce listeners will know what you're talking about, and no one else will ask. You just put it somewhere at the bottom. IHATPA.
No, but
you
they
just
might
get
just
that
ask you what does. No, but no. Because this will not work. This will not work.
Right.
So people will ask you what does IHATPA mean, and then you say. I have a tiny penis.
No, you just say, oh, don't worry about it.
No, but they think you might be part of some weird tiny penis club.
No,
do you know what I mean?
No. You can even just make sure that the first four letters in your bio of the first five lines...
You can change the T to be all sorts of things, though. You could say, it means I have a tender penis. I have a throbbing penis.
Yeah.
I have a...
temporal portal.
A tight...
Tactile. There's all sorts of things you could change.
I have a timepiece.
I have a timepiece. I'm from the 18th century.
Oh, man.
All right, this one's from Gordon.
Gordon, hello.
He's a 23-year-old Scottish lad studying artificial intelligence and cognitive science at a uni in the Netherlands. Re-listening to old podcasts keeps me company when I cycle back and forth to my classes. I've been listening to the podcast since it began.
Gordon, 23 years old. What's he smoking, like 100 a day or something?
It's a hard life up here, Sips, you know. Your voices used to cancel out the nightmarish sound of the ScotRail Glasgow announcements when I was at college. I'm currently writing my thesis, and that made me curious about what you guys wrote your theses on, as I understand you all have technical degrees.
Oh, I didn't have to. Right. I went to college, so I didn't have to write a thesis.
I think I did a final project, but I thought in order to write a thesis, you only had. Wasn't that for a master's?
Maybe it's university stuff in Canada anyway, thesis and all that.
I mean, I went to university. We didn't have to do a thesis. We just had to do a final year project. It was like I just had to write a computer program.
Yeah, I think thesis is something to do with like furthering your degree, right? Like master's or PhD.
I thought it was.
But
that's my master's. I did one. I'm just trying to find it. I don't actually know the full title anymore because it was a long time ago, but it was to do with the Michael addition reaction.
My my final project for programming in college was we had to write a multi-threaded chat application in Java. So I had to write software to host a server, and then I had to distribute in the lab to 10 other people that were in my course chat client. And they had to open the client on their computer and connect to the server that I created and chat for like 10 minutes without it all crashing and throwing up errors and stuff. That was my final project.
My final project was a little thing. It was a sort of a message board where you could post pictures and updates of what you were up to. You could connect with other friends. Never really took off. Sold it to a guy called Mark. I hope you did all right with it. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like if it's the same Mark that I'm thinking of, he was quoted recently saying that being the CEO of this company that I'm in charge of feels like waking up every morning and getting punched in the stomach. So I don't know worked out.
Is that
too
what
well
Mark Zuckerberg actually said?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, I wish that was true.
Yeah. Yeah. He's.
I can't find it. It's gone. It's lost in the mists of time.
Well,
what I did.
Additional message from Gordon. P.S. Some of your AI conversations have been really interesting, and I frequent the comments sometimes to see what the keyboard warriors are typing.
Yes.
I can say wholeheartedly that 99% of AI, or at least AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, is philosophy at this point, especially regarding what consciousness is. So there's rarely any wrong answers. Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate that. Appreciate you saying that. Appreciate you. Keep it up.
Thanks, Gordon.
Here's one. This is in response to something that we spoke about a few episodes ago, actually. I am Thomas from Germany, and I love listening to your ramblings while doing mindless tasks on the computer. As the topic came up again as a recent mailbag episode, I remembered that Lewis left out some details in his recounting of the documentary. This is the one about the doctor, the fertility doctor. The doctor had rheumatoid arthritis, which excluded him from being a sperm donor, and which unfortunately has been inherited by several of his children. he did not just lie about the sperm being from anonymous doctors and other people from the nearby hospital. He also replaced sperm samples from the husbands and partners with his own before impregnating the unsuspecting women. Many of the children apparently live within a 40-kilometer radius within each other and are around the same age. Therefore, they themselves and their children sadly do have to be concerned with consanguinity while looking for partners in their area.
Yeah,
in other
of course.
Words,
that's true.
Closely
they do.
Related.
There's a bunch of... Yeah. There are a bunch of problems.
Oh,
this is Crusader Kings problem that's been created here.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. You're trying to look for lusty geniuses.
You're trying to find a perfect betrothal, and the text in the dialogue box says, careful, this could result in their children becoming inbred. So
exactly.
Yeah, I guess I hope I wasn't too positive on him. I didn't think I was. I don't know. There's
we made light of it, and I think
a fine line,
it's much worse than we made out. I think is the summary.
It's definitely bad.
We didn't laud the guy and say,
definitely
oh,
not okay.
Well played, Doctor.
But also, I don't think it's the crime of the fucking century.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. I would say that that's...
It was a different time, though. It was in, it was a very different time.
Well, so was the World War II. We're not going
to
say that that wasn't exactly a bad time.
You can't try to justify this. It's just pretty bad.
It's pretty fucking bad.
It's
ruined a lot of people's lives.
Pretty damn bad.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Did it ruin them?
Yes, it ruined them.
I think they decided to let it ruin them.
Oh, good heavens. All right, well, there's a hot take for you.
So it's the victim's fault?
I'm going to check your ratio on this one.
They're not victims.
Has he committed a crime?
Yes, he definitely has.
Well, then they're victims,
right? Well, if you're a sovereign citizen, mate.
He's not in prison, is he?
No.
I don't think he has committed a crime.
I think he absolutely has, and he should be, in my opinion.
No, I mean, obviously, I'm not happy with it, and I think it's gross. But, I just think that, I just think it's also gross that some of the people have a mindset where it is poisonous to other people. You know, it's like you're just finding this out and the first person you meet imprints with their mindset on you that this is a terrible, terrible thing. You've been wronged and your life is now ruined. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I think they were very happy up until that point.
Yeah, so that sort of thing is obviously, I remember us talking about it now and saying that essentially it's almost like would you want to be told something that is going to completely change your opinion about everyone you know and your life and all the rest of it?
Yeah.
What good can come of that? Is it essentially, if you had never told
these people...
There is
literally no upside from this.
If you'd never told them, would they be happy?
Look, I'm not saying people shouldn't educate themselves about stuff, and but it's, in some cases, ignorance is bliss. But also, your take on it and your personal... You know, you have to work through these things and make a choice about whether you're going to let this... ruin your life. You're going to let this be like, okay, look, I think some of the people are crusaders with a very fixed mindset that this is an incredibly negative thing and it should ruin your life,
right?
Which is incredibly, incredibly toxic.
Well, they're upset.
And so I think some of the...
And when you're upset, to find comfort in sharing...
No, but they're not upset.
With
they
other
are,
people.
They are terminally upset. They are poisonous for years. They have they've dedicated their life to discovering their siblings and ruining their lives because they've allowed their life, or they've taken this mindset that's incredibly negative and poisoned everything in their life. And now they want that to happen to other
people.
This
wouldn't have happened if that person hadn't done what he'd done in the first place, though. You know what I mean? Like they're upset, rightfully so. And through their grief and upset, they think that other people must know the truth because it's, essential or whatever. I get it. Some people might not want to know that or might not need to know that, but there's no accounting for the fact that somebody's upset about something. I mean, think of the last time you were upset about something. You weren't 100% rational either. Like
I think even the doctor...
It's an emotional response to...
It totally is an emotional response. But in some cases, it's this... I just didn't like the approach that they were doing.
Do you think
they were preachers, do you know what I mean? Or like Mormons coming in.
Do you think that in a way... letting it consume your life is accepting that this has ruined your life and furthering that ruination by becoming so focused on it and then telling everyone else about it as well, in a way, isn't a positive response to this situation. I think is what Lewis is
I think that what you can do is, right, this sperm doctor guy, you know, he basically, sure, he thought he was helping, or at least that's the impression, that he thought that, you know, these are women who can't have children for whatever reason. I'm going to help them. You know, we can't get the sperm, so we want these people to have children. They had children. They were happy. They were fine. 30 years later, they find out that the doctor has done things that weren't illegal,
they're
but were
unethical.
Certainly not morally
very
okay. And it's resulted in them potentially having rheumatoid arthritis,
yeah.
Sure, who, you know, or
not just that, but they also have to be careful about who they, because they have no idea who they're actually related to, because
absolutely.
This guy behaves
sure.
so unethically. Like, it's
so my,
it has
my question
longer term effects.
Is there really no law against this?
Like, probably,
he didn't
probably
break
not, because
any
it,
laws?
No, but the thing, there's probably
no
strict laws against it, because it's not something that happens commonly at all. Like, there's probably,
I'm
like,
sure
there, a handful
well, this was
of
like
cases
a,
like
but
this.
But this was at the very founding. This was at the very, very first time that this sort of fertility treatments were being done,
yeah.
Right? These are the first test tube babies, if you like, right? Or whatever. Like, you know, these were, this was even before test tube babies. You know, he was just, you know, turkey basting other people's sperm up women, you know, basically.
Yeah.
That sounds like an average weekend, honestly.
Which is not, anyway, look, the whole point is that, you know, if you found out that, you know, this had happened to you, you know, it's like this can of worms
You said he was basting sperm up there. He's sending,
well, no, but,
putting
no,
cans
what
of
I'm
worms
saying is,
up there. No wonder they're having problems.
When you find out that this has happened to you, if no one found out, and it probably wouldn't have affected a lot of these people, right, almost in any way, sure, you don't want to end up, you know, marrying your brother by accident, but, you know, I think that, and so they should know that this is a thing, but I think that the people who were doing it and reaching out in a way that was wrong. Right, it's like these people. Sure, this is a traumatic event for them, right? And you need to approach it in the right way, and they need to talk about it with probably someone who's a trained therapist or someone who's rational. What they were getting was crazy woman,
right.
Yelling at them and doomsdaying them. So they were really upset and traumatized. This woman is traumatizing her brothers and sisters. That's what the problem I had was, right?
Okay.
In her language and in her crusading nature, right? You had if no one knew about this, maybe someone would have accidentally had an incest baby, but because people know about this, all of these brothers and sisters, their lives are being massively traumatized by this woman who is clearly traumatized.
Interesting. Let's move on. I think it's a good point.
It bothers me.
Here's a completely different one. Okay, this is completely different. Sips, this is specific to you,
right?
I was listening to the recent Mailbag episode, heard Sips talk about how driving in Jersey is absolute hell. Interestingly enough, despite having never been to Jersey or even know anyone from Jersey, I know this to be a fact. And the reason they know it is because they play a lot of GeoGuessr. And when
right.
you try to guess your location on the Google Maps, I've managed to win multiple games on Jersey Rounds because I've come to be able to identify it for its particularly narrow, winding streets.
Yeah.
If it kind of looks like a mix between the UK and France, doesn't have UK license plate, has very tight roads, almost always Jersey.
Yeah,
really?
And he learned this from a Northern Lion stream.
But what about
stream.
Guernsey?
Well, I guess it could be Guernsey.
It could be Guernsey too. But
he learned this from a Northern Lion stream where Northern Lion mentioned Sips when making the guess that it was Jersey. So
yeah,
there you go.
He got it right too. He got it right. Like, I saw the clip and I think I almost recognized where he was as well. It's a small place, but I mean, you got to remember it's an old place too, much like parts of rural England. You know, you had roads designed for horses and carts, right? For agriculture.
Yeah.
And all they've done is just pave them over with tarmac. So,
I mean, also, you guys don't have motorways.
We'd have like an avenue on the front, but no big motorways.
So
it's 45 square miles. There's no.
Exactly. But I mean, there isn't a big need for large roads and everything.
No.
No one's going anywhere in a mad hurry because it's not going to take you long to get there anyway.
Sure. But the problem is that there's lots of like what they call green lanes, which appear to be the size of a one-way road. but they're two ways. So,
well, that's common all over the UK. If sure, you have to drive in the countryside.
You're trying to drop your daughter off at her gymnastics lesson, which is at like a fucking house in the country,
right?
And then there's three other houses that use that same road to go to town or whatever. So somebody has to park in a field so that somebody can go by and stuff.
Yeah.
And
do they not have the little tuck in?
Sometimes they do. Yeah. Sometimes.
I
mean, yeah.
But honestly, I do not think that's specific to Jersey. Anyone that drives anywhere in outside of
exactly
city,
like
it's
that
like
in the
that
countryside.
All over
yeah, of
Dorset.
Course. But yeah. On average, people aren't. You know, like if you live in the city, you're not just driving in the countryside all the time. Like
no, of
like 100% of our driving is this. Like because you can't help but be driving in the countryside, right? So
yeah, you're basically a series of small villages in one. Small
and it's
town.
And it's hilly too, so we have like lots of roads that are quite steep, so lots of hill starts and stuff like that. So when you're learning to drive, you have to learn how to hill start.
What's the best season to come to Jersey? Would you say? Spring?
Oh, summer for sure. It's seasonal,
summer?
Right? Yeah. So
yeah,
like
no,
now,
I'm, you know, you're not in the
mid October through to about. April, a lot of stuff closes, like hospitality,
okay.
Like
I think,
winds
you know
down.
What? We're gonna fucking come over. I'm
yeah, come over
in
the summer, man. The baby will be bigger. Like, it nice hotels. Like, if you like seafood, holy shit, there's like tons of seafood.
Well, no, we were gonna stay with you.
You can stay with me. We got a tent. We could set you up in the backyard.
Stay in the garage.
Yeah, well, yeah, you could stay in the garage. There's
no. No,
we'll
good
get
lord.
Just sit on my kids' bikes to rest your keister.
I know you're running out of space with the people you got there.
Man, yeah.
So right. Definitely a squeeze.
Here's another email then. This is from Theodore. Hello, Ted, Chris, and Lewis. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but my name is Theodore, and I live in Sweden.
Nice.
In episode 228, you guys talked about how different lesser-known TV shows and movies are in the Anglosphere, but are very popular in other countries. So a very popular TV program in Sweden is Kalla Ankus Julafton, which is Donald Duck's Christmas Eve.
Nice.
The program is about 60 minutes long, consists of different short films featuring different Disney characters. The program first aired in Sweden in 1960, starts at 3 p.m. every year on Christmas Eve. Every Swedish person has seen or at least knows about this program, and it has a near religious following. However,
I've heard about this.
In 2021, they broadcast it at 3:05 instead of 3 p.m., caused an uproar, and people demanded it be returned to the scheduled broadcast.
Amazing.
This is one of these weird little
there's always
Christmas traditions,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, there's lots of little weird Christmas traditions in like what is shown and stuff too, right? Like a lot of people say that they watch Die Hard because it's a Christmas movie. And like
it's tedious.
It is, I guess. But like
it's a great movie, don't get me wrong, but that conversation is very tedious. I said before, it's a conversation and a debate, if you like, that people have at a pub with people they don't really know, work colleagues, stuff like that. Someone was like drinking games.
You
actually needs drinking games if you're with friends. You only need them if you're with people you don't really like or know. That's the only reason you'd need that. And it's the same with this kind of fucking debate. Anyway, carry on, Chris. Sorry.
The when I was a kid, the big ones for Christmas were How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the animated one from like the 60s or whatever. That was always on. And Mickey's Christmas Carol. So another Disney one where it was a Christmas Carol, but it was, you know, with Mickey and Goofy Bob, was it not Bob Marley, Jacob Marley,
right?
But it was Goofy.
And
Scrooge McDuck was Ebenezer Scrooge obviously.
I would like to know if the Star Wars Christmas special is the Christmas special in any country in the world.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, someone somewhere is like,
nowadays,
sit down, kids. It's time for the Star Wars Christmas holiday special. I would love it if that was.
For my kids, it's like, and probably yours too, Flax. It's like, it's all the Julia Donaldson stuff, right? The Gruffalo, Stickman.
Yeah, but they're too old for it now.
Well, this is not the same though, right? What this guy's talking about is something that is ingrained into their culture.
Yeah.
It gets played every year and everyone knows about it, but no one outside of that country knows about it. And it's a bit weird.
We don't have that, I don't think.
This is one of those things where, you know, the Swedish people say, oh, don't you watch, Jag Tag Jula every Christmas? And we're like, no, of course we don't.
This is off the back of the conversation about the German show, right? About the rich woman and her waiter or whatever.
Yeah.
What was it? Yeah.
Same as last year, man. Same year, every year, James, or whatever.
And
yeah,
I guess like the closest we might have is like the John Lewis Christmas advert or something that's been going for a long time.
What about the Coca-Cola Christmas ads? I guess everybody gets those, you know, like the holidays are coming. Right. Holidays are coming. We don't have a show.
But it would specifically need to be a show made by a foreign country that we have adopted as a Christmas ritual. And I cannot think of anything like that.
I mean, obviously there are things that everyone sits down together and watches, like the Queen's, I guess it'd be the King's speech this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be weird.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
Peasants.
please don't look at my puffy hands. Avoid looking at them. Obviously a frightful year. Mummy died, which is very bad, very sad. Thank you to everyone that stood in the queue while I was viewing her body. Talking of queues, I was in a queue the other day.
He's just going to ramble and complain.
Waiting for a bus, which I've never done in my life. I've got to say, the bus was filthy and disgusting. There was a young man on there. He said to another young man, I have a tiny penis. If this is what the country's come to, really, it's frightful.
I was shocked.
Have a good Christmas. Please, don't talk to me.
All right, that is enough of that. Thank you, everyone. That was a mailbag. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.